Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. On my trip to Calgary, I met one Canadian millennial working tirelessly to normalize the cannabis culture in his community. Andrew Freeman got into cannabis during his teens and learned about growing and extraction at an early age. His passion for pot soon led to a curiosity of viticulture and enology. And Andrew soon found himself living on a vineyard, working as a cellar hand and studying to become a sommelier. For those of you who don't know shit about wine and spirits, the Wine and Spirit Education Trust is the largest global provider of wine, spirits, and sake qualifications. There are four progressive levels of study, and while honing his palate, Andrew earned the WSET Level 3 Award in Wines. Combining his knowledge of cannabis and wine, Andrew created the Cannabis Sommelier persona and began hosting elevated dining experiences. While dining with the Cannabis Sommelier, guests are treated to creative cannabis-infused cuisine prepared by a local chef, accompanied by strain and wine pairings and cannabis-infused cocktails. The Cannabis Sommelier brings cannabis conversation to the dinner table by offering a set and setting to explore both your palate and the cannabis culture. At the elevated dining experience I attended on 420, I met some fabulous local ladies who talked about their experience onboarding into cannabis post-legalization. In Alberta, there's still stigma attached to cannabis consumption, so most of the experimentation happens at home, alone. Which leads me to a teaching tangent. If you are mindfully experimenting with cannabis, doing it at home alone is a really great exercise. When you're alone, there's no distraction. You get to experience the plant and your body uninterrupted, which is important to dial in your relationship with cannabis and find your dosing sweet spot. It's also a great opportunity to journal and track your experience with each strain or product that you're trying. But back to Alberta. Isolation is great to choose, but it's not as much fun when you feel lonely to share your experience with someone, which is how and why I met these fantastic women at the cannabis-infused dinner party. The moral of that story, no matter the laws and culture where you live, you can find your tribe. And if you've been searching and can't find any local groups or organizations, maybe you're the cannabis Sherpa to step up and make it happen. Since Andrew is an overachiever like me, the day after our elevated dining experience, I joined him on, yep, you guessed it, his podcast, Beers with Buds. It was a nice change of pace for me to just show up and talk and not be in charge of the direction of the conversation. That said, how about we both grab a beer, we'll smoke our favorite bud, and let's settle in together for this crossover episode of Beers with Buds.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one.
Hello, and welcome back to Beers with Buds. I'm your host, Andrew Freeman, the Cannabis Sommelier. Today, I'm joined by my new bud, all the way from Oakland, Joe Newding. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me and thanks for hosting me at dinner last night.
You're so welcome. You're actually the very first guest I've ever had that's actually been to dinner, which is so crazy. A lot of people have come on before they've done the dinner experience, but nobody's ever been able to talk about the dinner after doing it. So I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. I had an epic 420 yesterday here in Calgary.
That's awesome to hear because you wouldn't think that somebody from California would have an epic 420 in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
I'm telling you. I mean, I had some really great hosts.
I love it.
I had a high tea party in the morning. Amazing. And then an afternoon party and then our dinner last night. What are we calling it?
The Elevated Dining
Series. The Elevated Dining Series, yes. It was really great.
We have to be elusive with our marketing in Canada. If we say anything to do with cannabis or any of those terms, puts us at a huge liability to get in trouble for trafficking drugs.
Well, and it feels like everybody's worried about getting in trouble in Canada. So everybody follows the rules.
Right. We're all too polite. That's why absolutely everybody just stands in a line. If you see a line, you'll just stand in it to find out what's at the front. And I feel like that's like following the rules with cannabis right now, where everybody's paving the way in California. It's the absolute Wild West, and people just do what they want, from Prop 64 to 216 and everything 215, in between. It was just such madness. And here it was like, I'll just wait and see if the rules are all right for me to play.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have people a lot of times that are listeners from Canada to my show, and they do talk about how they wish people were more out and loud and proud with their cannabis consumption here. But from what I've experienced over the last several days, it really is like everything I went to yesterday, they were all private gatherings. Mm-hmm. And there's not like a main central kind of database where you can find out all the cannabis events and happenings.
Cannabisevents.ca and Leafly/events Canada.
Okay, well done. I didn't know that. I couldn't find anything. So
yeah, it's a little bit hidden because there really isn't that much. The reality is that these have to be private parties, or else there's a massive legal issue. Like even what I did last night with the LVA Dying Series is very gray area, and it's how I'm continuing my activism inside of a legal framework, because without cannabis dining regulations and nobody serving cannabis and wine and infused dining, how can anybody ever write those regulations and do their duty of care to give somebody that experience safely if nobody's doing it in the gray area? So
right, so you're doing these parties, and then you're also trying to get involved in the local government to get this stuff pushed through, or what are you doing?
I used to go and pigeonhole MLAs and MPs. I was really fortunate when I first got into cannabis. I was 16. I met this lady who had gone through breast cancer. She was actually going through breast cancer for a third time, which is terrible. And she was too debilitated to grow her medicine, but she had worked in the Auditor General's office, very high up in politics, mm-hmm. and was very informed and passionate about cannabis and cannabis consumption, and normalizing cannabis. So she really taught me, she indoctrinated me into being her lobbyist and showing what a cannabis consumer, an educated, eloquent cannabis consumer looks like, even from a young age. But at this point, I have no intention of putting that target on my back again.
Yeah.
You should tell people what you do. I forgot. We jumped right in. Give them your bio. Tell them all about Casually Baked and that whole
sure.
world.
I am a cannabis lifestyle guide in the Bay Area in California. And so I teach people how to onboard into a cannabis for wellness lifestyle.
Cool.
You know, it's either somebody who's new into cannabis, or it could be someone who's been consuming for 20 years, but they don't know what CBD is, or they don't know all these different methods of consumption. They've just been kind of an old school flower guy.
Fair enough. So, I
just kind of walk the walk, and I show people what that responsible cannabis consumer looks like. And I use Casually Baked, the podcast, as my platform to just be out loud and proud and help people kind of become cannabis Sherpas in their own community, you know, like showing people how they might be able to change the culture in their town, start conversations.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
I love that you put in for wellness. You're a cannabis lifestyle guide for wellness, because it's amazing thinking about cannabis as a wellness product and as a medicinal product and as a recreational product. It's really transcends all of these different genres of how it can be used in day-to-day life.
Totally. And I tell people there are three keys to having a positive experience with cannabis: mindfulness, microdosing, and your willingness to experiment.
Okay.
And in order to do all of those things, you have to be really intentional with your use. And mm-hmm. so for me, that's what cannabis for wellness means. Like, I'm intentionally using this plant. Maybe it might be just to have a good time at a concert.
Right.
But it very well could also be because you have social anxiety, and that's what makes you have a better time at the concert. So it's really kind of dialing down what that reason is. It's adult use or it's medical.
Right.
You know?
And this is the big conversation in California. Adult use. People do not say recreational. It's adult use. And that's the vocabulary that mm-hmm. ends the stigma and perpetuates normalization.
Yeah, because recreational sounds like, you know, I mean, I do like to get high and go to the playground and swing, but like that would be recreational consumption for me.
Totally. That's hilarious. Yeah, recreational vehicle. Am I just going to get stoned and get on my ATV? No, that's amazing. So did you try any legal cannabis since you've been here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I found a bartender today at the restaurant and was like, when we leave, we're going to have leftovers. So we'll drop by and bring you a package. Yeah, everyone we've met, they, you know, bringing us a couple of nugs here and there, wanting us to try different things. I got some amazing Moroccan hash.
That's awesome, which is totally illegal. Hash, right. Edibles, everything's legal. The only thing that's legal is dried flour that comes in one of these silly containers with a duty seal.
Yeah, and I have been to a dispensary, checked out.
Cannabis retail store. We can't call them dispensaries.
See, this is so silly. Yeah. So yes, all of this is, it's very interesting to see how the packaging is
what a disaster.
So sterile and so wasteful.
Right. And well, even just the lack of marketing and branding, the idea that your THC symbol has to be as big as your marketing brand. You can only have one color on the entire package, and your warning label has to be a specific size of the entire label. And the type font can't be below an 8 or a 6. So it's just, everybody's stuck. And how can you have brand identity when everybody has right. the same plain package? It seems unfair. You know what the other crazy thing is? Is that you're not allowed to pack with nitrogen or any inert gases. So there's no way to keep cannabis fresh inside these packages.
I've seen a lot of those Boveda packets yeah. around here.
Yeah. And it's 0% humidity here.
Yeah. And I know my skin is hating me right now.
Understandably. I go anywhere else and I'm like just an oily mess. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Take me back to Alberta.
Oh, you can definitely tell some of the bud that I got. One of the growers that had given it to me, he was saying he was trying out a new curing method.
Okay.
And so it was still a little sticky, almost the texture that you would, traditional tobacco that you would smoke in a pipe.
Okay.
And so he was like, you know, leave these packets open overnight. Well, I left those along with another one that was traditionally cured.
Yeah.
And when I went to smoke that this morning, it was just crumbly.
Dry. Yeah.
Yeah. It happened really fast. Yeah.
It's not. The first time I went to California, I was amazed. I had heard all these rappers, and then it made sense when it touched my fingers. I was like, oh, it really is the sticky, icky, icky. Ooh-wee. And no matter what you do, if you leave your bag open overnight, you know, sometimes you come back and your weed's too moist. And it was like, that was the nicest blessing, being able to roll blunts without a grinder. People think I'm so weird. I come to the States and I bring a grinder with me.
Oh, no. A grinder is imperative. I think it's imperative.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you got to get that even texture.
Agreed.
You get that nice airflow. You don't have to burn it as much. It kind of slow burns on its own. It's the responsible way to smoke, people.
It is the responsible way to smoke. It's much better. And you're not getting your finger oils all over it. That's always the grossest part I think about, is just covering everything in my
But I've had some really great experiences here. Now, the stuff that's in the stores there, it's pretty low dose THC that's left on the shelves, and the high CBD, low THC kind of blends. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that I got from just some other growers that I had yesterday, pretty tasty. Some giant colas.
Yeah,
good looking cannabis around here.
There's a lot of great cannabis. It's just still so hidden underground.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the big conversation going on, is how do you get a micro grower, this guy that's been doing it really well for 25 years, into the system so that he can have seed to sale, track and trace in a cannabis retail store. Everything here has to go through the government before it goes to the, we don't have, our co-packer is only the government, and then it goes out.
Yeah, so you have yours has to go through a distributor, mm-hmm. too, and that's the way we are.
But there's a really cool hustle in California, because you can have these co-packing facilities that are privately owned, and the way that I understand it, it's been explained to me through the guys, is that in these co-packers, they'll put a testing lab, multiple brands, mm-hmm. and then basically, once you have this co-packing facility set up and you're registered there, you can go and buy cannabis. I don't know now with 214, is that the one that came into effect? 64 to 214?
No, it was Prop 215 and now Prop 64 is
okay,
the...
Okay, right. Yeah. So when 64 happened, things got a little bit dicier, but for the longest time, you could just go into somebody's basement, buy all their cannabis, take it to your co-packer, test it there, and then say, yeah, it's good, put it on the market. That was co-packed at this facility, tested, tried, true cannabis.
I mean, I do know that there are a lot of facilities, you know, that are helping these smaller craft growers, like in Humboldt County. Flocana has created a facility that it is storage for these farmers. It's trimming the bud, creating the joints and all the things, and, you know, being labeled under this Flocana brand. And so, yeah, it's
a co-op.
Yes, and it is. It's seed to sale straight from that one facility. So, you know, the whole concept being that bud gets tested in a facility that's just like right across the road, you know? So like it's all in the same facility. So it cuts out a lot of that transportation and a lot of the middlemen and hopefully, you know, the cost.
I didn't know Flocana was a co-op actually. And it makes sense why they have so much market share now.
You know, they really are trying to give these craft growers, these second and third generation growers who, you know, are the OGs. They're trying to give them an opportunity to compete with these really big, massive growers that are coming in now that
OG Kush. I want to give this one because I've never said this on the podcast. OG Kush is actually ocean grown Kush, not original gangster. Just
right.
So everybody
yeah,
knows.
Yeah, ocean grown.
As I have my California homegirl in here, you came in with the Humboldt Seed Co. hoodie on. I was like, yeah, hopefully we get that OG line so I can drop that little knowledge nugget on everybody.
Well, I kept telling people, this woman I met yesterday, Dorian, I mean, I said, she's a Canadian OG. And this kid, Connor, at the VM was like, nobody says that here.
What?
I was like, well, she's been a part of the cannabis scene longer than you've been alive. So I'm going to call her an OG.
He's just not homied up. He didn't grow up in South Calgary, obviously, because we're definitely stacked with OGs down here. This is where it is. You go far north or far south, OGs. Anywhere in the center, they're just hipsters. So, it's interesting because the culture is extremely small, and the culture that I live in of the essential oils and all this really, the word heady is kind of what we all use. And it's this 1% of cannabis culture where we're only smoking oil that's extremely expensive and only available to a particular person, only if you know somebody. And that culture, again, I didn't realize I was living in that bubble, and still everybody didn't get all the cannabis that I was getting and wasn't able to see 150 strains at a certain point. It was still, you get what you get. So it's hard. There's two different sides to the world, and I don't really see either of them working. Because in that 1%, it's only that, it's the cool kids club, it seems. If in Calgary, if you're going to do a free event or a sesh or whatever, you would meet those same 50 people every single time. And then there's the OGs, the old school people, the growers that aren't really in that heady scene, and they still like to smoke joints, and they're quite traditionalists. And again, that's another scene that I'm just not absolutely comfortable in. And so I'm just kind of falling in this middle ground and trying to pave a new way where we can have informed, educated consumers, where it's a much more comfortable atmosphere. I really just want to be able to smoke cannabis with my mom and her not have it feel like anything dirty or the propaganda or the negative stereotype that cannabis has been looked at.
All right, so you're in your hometown.
Yeah.
Does your mom know that you consume? Do you consume around her?
Yeah.
You have developed that relationship with your mom.
Well, I've been getting in trouble for a long time. Like, you know, I got busted when I was 12 years old. And then it was 13, and then it was 14, and then it was 15, and then it was 16, and then it was 17, and then it was 18, and then it was 19.
So you've been getting trouble your whole life. How old are you? You look like you're like 24.
I'm 25. It's my 26th birthday in 2 weeks on May 4th. But I've been in cannabis for a decade now, like actively as a job, working on a commercial level.
You were able to work in cannabis as a 14-year-old?
16. I'm 25. I turned 26.
Okay, you did.
Two
weeks.
Yeah,
you did.
So I met my mentor, and she was amazing, and I was in it. I knew that this was what I wanted to do for my life. Every other job I had in between was just a building block to figure out how I can create the personal brand that normalizes cannabis in the best way, and that's why I'm the cannabis sommelier.
Yeah, I like that. When I was 16, I wanted to be the next Barbara Walters.
Respect. Barbara Walters was a talk show host. I don't even know who Barbara Walters is. I'm watching it right now.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a tiny town, as we discussed last night. We got one channel, and it was ABC.
Okay.
And so Barbara Walters was the talk show host that did 2020. And so she would do these intimate interviews with world leaders and famous people and make them cry and make them tell her stories that they didn't necessarily want to talk about. And I'm like, man, I bet I could get people to talk like that. Like, that's what I want to do.
You're the motherfucking Barbara Walters of the podcast
world. Barbara Wawa.
Yeah, you're Joe of Casually Baked. You're the new Barbara Walters. There's going to be this girl, her mom's going to be listening. She's like, oh, yeah, what do you listen to in the car? She's like, oh, don't worry, it's just the podcast. She's like, one day I'm going to be Joe. This is journalism. This is broadcasting. So that's pretty cool. You're well on your way to being Barbara Walters right now.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because all the moms in Marin, okay, who I help them either figure out how to get themselves away from drinking a bottle of white wine a day and, you know, figuring out a new way to decompress from the kiddos or how to talk to their kids about pot or whatever. They have, oh, yes.
Yeah, beer time.
They've deemed me Jopra, Oprah of pot.
The Jopra.
Yeah. Deepak, so that's Jopra. That's been pretty fun, too.
Yeah,
oh, this is California beer.
I know. I kind of botched it. I didn't have, I was going to go get Alberta beer because there's 39 craft breweries in Calgary. And then I was like, ah, well, I have Lagunitas in the fridge and I'm sure she's had this before. So,
well, to be perfectly honest, I'm a little bit of a wuss when it comes to hoppy beer. So I'll do my best.
You're in the Thunderdome now. I have a cider for you if you'd like it.
No.
You'll struggle through it. Well, I like IPAs because they're amazing for cannabis pairing.
Right. Of course. The hops, of course.
Humulene. So for those who don't know, there's a terpene that was found in cannabis. It's called humulene. They found this terpene as they were researching cannabis and this distinct smell, and they wanted to place its genetics. And what they found had the exact same terpene profile was Humulus lupulus hops. And so that's why the terpene humulene is humulene, because it smells like beer hops. So
yeah, they're cousins.
They're genetic cousins. We love it. So yeah, so if you have an IPA, that OG is very good. Any of those big, gassy, really pungent, aromaed, classic Northern California strains are so good with IPA.
Right on. Do you have anything for us that we need to try out?
Mm-hmm. I got lots of stuff. You're in the Thunderdome, remember? I got some crazy stuff. I wanted to bring some really cool stuff. These are all blind right now, so I don't actually know what any of the strains are, because I do blind tastings for a gentleman, and I write a book with them, which is really cool. It's still gray market stuff, but we're doing my detailed tasting notes for absolutely everything he runs this year. And it's okay. It'll be loud. And in between different crops as well. So I'm able to see, like, if he's doing five crops of a specific strain, he's sending me absolutely every single one. And in every iteration, he's doing a live resin, a live rosin, a full spectrum extract. And then I get to write these notes all blind. Because what big thing I want to do is teach people to blind taste cannabis.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Because okay. I like to tell people that their relationship with wine can be very comparable to what their relationship with cannabis can be. So, mm-hmm. You know, exploring the terroir and,
nice,
you know,
you nailed the word.
Thank you. Well, I've lived in the wine country for a little bit.
Right. So,
but you know, like really diving in before you begin and just like, you know, what do you smell? Like, what's the mm-hmm. first word that comes to your mind? And, you know, we do that a lot with wine, and it's so easy to take those same skills and use them in the cannabis space. So what are some tips that you have for me and people to do that?
Well, it's really easy to pretend like you know what you're talking about. That's number one. If anybody's ever been to a wine tasting, it's great. Pick like three words that you're just going to anchor onto and use those so well. Like, just read one small document. I don't even know what that word's going to be for cannabis. Just remember myrcene, limonene, and beta-carophyllene. If you can remember those three terpenes, you're absolutely set, and you'll sound like a pro anywhere you go.
But I don't want people to just sound like pros. I want people to know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, and I think that's... So the number one thing is you're never wrong. Nobody is ever wrong. Whatever you smell is what you smell, because smells are only memories. We only taste five things: sour, sweet, salty, bitter, and umami. And we smell millions and millions of things. And that combination of taste and smell is flavor, but we can only have flavor through memory. So everybody's memory is completely different of that moment, of that aroma. So you're never wrong. Trust what you think and say it out loud. So take your cannabis. If you have a, if you have dried cannabis, I would suggest putting it in a container, locking in that container and letting it ruminate, hang out for at least a little bit to collect those smells. Because what's happening is every time you open the jar, it's oxidizing. Just like if you leave wine open, right when you open it, it gets good. There's a moment where it's best and then it starts falling off. And that's exactly like cannabis. So open that jar and stick it really close to your nose. Like get in there and just love it. A deep, long sniff and then take it away. Try and understand. If you can't understand, just keep smelling it and really just start enjoying the cannabis and think about it on a deeper level than it just smelling like cannabis or skunkiness. Wine never made sense to me until I removed the idea of alcohol. And then it became a really complex, intricate beverage, not there to get me drunk. And that's the hardest part about cannabis is everybody just assumes that it smells like skunk right away. Make sure you fight through that, become familiar with it. And then after you've smelled it, you know, feel free to write notes too. Notes are probably the most important thing. Everybody should keep a cannabis journal because we're all so different. And those smells and flavors are really what's dictating your cannabis consumption experience. THC is only like gas in a car.
And I think people a lot of times have trouble getting creative. And so sometimes having a fragrance wheel, a wheel, or, you know, one of those little kind of terpene wheels so that you can look and see, you know, woodsy, citrus, and, you know, whatever these things are. And it just keeps dialing down and down and down. And I think something like that helps people really recognize what they're smelling.
I think people are really easily confused to think that I'm just really good at saying words out loud and like a lot of people think I'm full of bullshit, but it's like I come from years ago, like 18 to 21, I wanted to be a rapper. That's what I did. I produced music, I released albums, I transitioned into dance music, but I was a rapper, and freestyling was my absolute favorite thing to do. So that transition of freestyling was really easy, talking about wine, talking about cannabis, as soon as I knew the words. So that's going to wine school. We can look back at my first wine tasting notes and they're so simple. Like I struggle to even think about raspberry, gravel, strawberry. And you know, it's very basic. And now it's just like freestyle rapping. I can literally just go as long as I want to go before I switch my rhyme scheme or go to the next, to the next moment. And so it's all
your flavor flow.
Yeah. My flavor flow. Exactly. I had to learn. People don't, with like with rapping especially, people don't understand, or poetry even, that all of us create rhyme schemes, and the way that we create our flow is very personal and unique. And that's why people have flows, and rhyme schemes are, you know, A, B, rhymes very simple, or A, B, B, A, whatever. And that's just like the tasting note. When I was able to break it into an analytical system, appearance, aroma, taste, overall impression, it became really easy to have my flavor flow and just.
Yeah, I like that. Repeat those four things again.
So it's appearance. So when we, I invented the 100-point scale to grading cannabis, which I can't believe nobody did before me. But through the 100-point scale, you get 20 points for appearance, 40 points for the nose because the nose knows, 20 points for flavor, and then 20 points for overall impression based on your experience with cannabis.
I dig it.
And that's, yeah, it, they get a lot deeper inside of those, and there's a bunch of other things I could talk about, but on the
yeah, basis, keeping it simple, that I like that.
And the nose knows because those aromas, like if something's not pleasurable to you when you smell it, it's probably not going to be pleasurable to you when you taste it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's, you know, for somebody brand new, if they're going in shopping for cannabis, the first thing is let's look at the THC content, look at the THC levels. If you're brand new, I know you might think you need 20% or higher of THC, but you don't. So it's like find that middle of the road, that 9 to 15% THC, and then smell all of those strains.
The unfortunate part about here is you can't smell anything before you purchase it.
They have
the sample jars out, but
you could just look at those.
You can stick your nose in them, but they're the
bud
gray box
market.
It's not designed very well to actually smell, and like you experienced one day out exposed to the air, and cannabis is almost destroyed. Because there's 0% humidity, it just oxidizes.
Well,
extremely
then
fast.
Come visit me in Oakland.
Oh yeah, I'll be
do
there.
Do your sniffing profiles in California, and then come back to
well, I
got to Canada
pick up backwoods somewhere, right?
Well, and I'm talking about your listeners, my listeners.
Yeah, I love it.
Go somewhere where it's legal and practice and play this game.
Yeah, Denver.
Cannabis tourism is a real thing.
Cannabis tourism is huge, and figuring out how to do cannabis tourism has been the hardest hurdle lately in in Canada. All these people have so many great ideas of activities they want to do, and it's like, okay, well, how do we actually give a cannabis-centric experience while giving the correct duty of care based on the legalities that have been presented right now?
And it's, yeah, is there a Canadian Tourism Board or the Calgary Tourism Board where you go and like, okay, how do we make sure people have a highly responsible experience when they visit us around cannabis? Like,
I think that may now be one of the reasons why this lady from Tourism Calgary reached out to me for a coffee meeting.
Well, good.
Did not think about that reason of why she might want to have a conversation, but that's totally the reality. I'm the only person in Calgary that's curating events like this that are extremely cannabis-centric.
Mm-hmm.
One of the important parts for me last night was that there's cannabis in all forms. And if you don't want to consume cannabis, you're also not excluded. But to be cannabis-centric and to be a cannabis pioneer and event host, we really can't forget about the cultures that do still exist. The people that want to smoke joints, the people that want to vape, the people that want to have dabs and do all of that. Everybody needs to be included, because the shift isn't just what I want or what somebody else wants or the heady guys or the OGs, but it's collectively all of us, and it's finding that middle ground.
Well, and I think that that is one of the most responsible things that anybody in this space that's really wanting to push things and to create a thriving cannabis culture here. It's like, you know what? I am responsible. I know what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. So it's like just showing up and having those coffee meetings and being that squeaky wheel and, you know, being the person that's like, hey, I know what we should be doing. Just listen to me. Yeah, let me help you. Help.
Hello, I'm the guy.
Right. And, you know, and sure, it's a little extra work and you're not getting paid for it, but really you will be getting paid for
one
it.
Day.
You
one
know
day.
What I mean? Yeah.
I want to be the guy. That's the plan. Be the guy who knows the things.
Oh yeah. I was on my feminist cannabis diva soapbox last night at the party talking to all the ladies.
the ladies were in it. I like that. You know what? I think that was actually the most female presence we've ever had at a dinner, which made me really happy. I begrudgingly always assume that it's going to be men and mm-hmm. like kind of a 30-year-old dude. And it's really nice to see the transition of who is joining for the dinner, since they mm-hmm. are a totally private kind of wink, wink, nod, nod thing. I don't know if you got to meet Oliver last night, the cool tech chick. She sent her mom for brunch, and her mom was the coolest lady. Oh, she was so awesome. She you know, she was in that probably baby boomer-esque demographic, mm-hmm. and she was just so excited to learn. She was an OG, 100%. One guy was like, yeah, I think I'd like, you know, like a 30, 40 plant grow, something. It might take a bit to take care of. She goes, yeah. And everybody looked at her like, how many plants does this lady have? Like, she's a gangster. She's just sitting here soaking in all the information from these young guys. But she was so excited to learn about rosin and all those things. We should have a dab. Here, you should smell this. This is some hash. Well, it's not, it's butane hash oil, but it's white. It's clear.
Piney? Terpenylene?
Yeah. Alpha pinene.
All right, all right. And what's the other option you have?
Well, let's find
out. Or is this the one that you recommend?
I don't know. They're both blind. I haven't even dug into any of these yet. Quite literally just tasting samples. That one's pretty
dank. This one's a little, well, it's a little sweeter though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like this one. Let's do this one.
Let's have that one. I look forward to it.
Baby dab me. I like to be casually baked.
Yeah, it will be a baby dab. She's living the tagline. If everybody heard that, Casually Baked, the podcast on Spotify, Google Play,
anywhere,
iTunes.
Yeah, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
I ordered like cards before I ever started the podcast, and now my podcast isn't on my cards, and I give people the spiel. It's like, I host a YouTube channel and I have a podcast and I do this and this, and they're like, oh, where can I listen to the podcast? I'm like, you know, just go on podcasts on your phone. And they're like, I have podcasts on my phone. But what's been surprising to me was that there's a lot of different podcast aggregators.
Yeah.
Like, just, I had no idea people, number one, when I started a podcast, I never listened to a podcast before. And I didn't think anybody actually listened to them. I thought it was just kind of a place to smell your own farts and whatever. But it's crazy.
Yeah. That RSS feed, people pick it up and it goes everywhere.
Yeah. People care. People are interested. Like,
yeah, digital media is it's kind of a big deal right now.
It is. Did you do radio? Or what made you transition into this? What did you do before? Like,
well, I've been in experiential marketing for over 20 years.
That's a good transition.
So it's all been media based. So I worked for CBS Sports.
Cool.
And Infinity Radio, which is CBS Radio, doing the spot radio sales. Back when Howard Stern was part of the network. Yeah. And then worked for local radio in Austin, Texas. I sold KLBJ FM for 4 years. So it was like I had the sales chops, and then I, you know, put together events, and then I traveled on the PGA Tour and with the NFL and did a couple of concert tours, Beyonce and Jack Johnson. And so I kind of learned how people like to romance products. And then I have a broadcast journalism degree. So I was like, you know what? I might as well use that now.
We might as well do it. Okay, we're on for our dab. All you have to do is hold it straight up and down and just lightly suck on it. You just leave it. It's so easy. The future is great. The Puffco peaks are...
Yeah, this is super easy. I don't have to pull it?
Nothing. 2019, smoking cannabis. Press a button. Weed. There it is.
It just kind of buzzed in my head. What did it tell me?
It's going into sesh mode. So if you want some more, I can turn it back on for you right now. Because I'm going to keep going for probably the next like minute and a half, to be super honest with you.
I figure the safest thing, if you're trying to be highly responsible, a little dab will do you. Then wait for like 10 minutes, see how you feel. And then you can do some more.
Yeah, so leave it there, and it's all good. We'll just heat it back up.
That tasted really nice.
I'm glad you liked it. So this is what, I put the idea of $1,000 gram up there a while ago, and I said, I want to be the guy that sells the first $1,000 gram in Canada.
People, shut your mouth. I hate that. No.
Why? This is an incredible product. He bought a $40,000 filter just to make it that color. Like, you know, these are the things that you need to do.
You should just go ahead and move on to LA.
Yeah, I'm ready. Well, you know, my last name's...
We don't want your kind in Oakland.
You know, I'm here. There's a clear consumer difference, right? There's a person that wants to drink a $20 bottle of wine, and there's a person that wants to drink a $100 bottle of wine, and there's a person that wants to drink a $1,000 bottle
Absolutely.
Of wine.
Absolutely.
And I think all those people need to be recognized and not exploited, but in some circumstances, you know, I see a lot of $2,000-$5,000 cannabis cigars that go out gold wrap.
That's my problem, because we still have people that are in jail for being the wrong color smoking cannabis.
Yeah, it sucks to be black or brown and smoke weed. I know, if it was a perfect world, but we have alcoholics and we have people that are alcoholics.
Yeah, I know, and it's a capitalist society. Yeah. My bleeding liberal heart can't take a lot of it.
I know. It's hard. Last year on my birthday, I got to drink the most expensive bottle of wine I had ever drank. And now what do I want to do? Only drink like $5,000 bottles of wine. Why? Because they taste so much better. We just need to create that tiered system. And, you know, you'll be able to – you can get a great bottle of wine for $30 that tastes like a $100 or a $500 bottle of wine. It's all about being an informed consumer.
So tell me on this – on the gray market – what does this go for?
That would have been $135 gram. So that was like a Yeah. Okay. $10 dab.
Okay.
But the high tier is sitting between $100 to $140 a gram.
Okay.
But in California, 710 Labs, Cresco Labs, all those people, like, you know, a gram of their live resin in these same forms from a retail outlet is around $150. And those are American dollars, so that's another 20%. You get a 20% discount on Canadian everything when you come.
Right. Another reason to vacation here.
It's like Monopoly money now.
Yeah, it's great. We've had some amazing meals.
Good. Where and have then, you eaten? What was your favorite so far?
Well,
say me.
10-foot Henry is my faveski. It was so good. Katie and I went back 2 days in a row.
That's the number 46 best restaurant in Canada.
The that's list, it? The list it's just on came Katie's out. Top five list well, in the world.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. The last time I went there, I actually had a really bad experience. I kind of trash talk it sometimes.
Wow. Well, we had two amazing experiences and
I'm glad. I'm really happy.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish I had known you're at Hotel Arts because I would have sent you down the street. Well, you're here longer. Go to Bar Vonderfels tonight. They got, what, number 51 best restaurant in Canada.
We have reservations at Mercado tonight.
You'll go to Bar Vonderfels after.
After Mercado.
It's a wine
okay.
bar.
All right.
Yeah, my buddies are the owners and Psalms and Will and Thomas, amazing guys. Thomas was a guest on the podcast. Huge bins of wine out on the counter. It's like a 26-seat restaurant. And, you know, it'll be like, what do you feel like? What flavor do you imagine when I ask you this question? And if you're like, this. And it's like, okay, I'm going to bring you this. And it's just, it's
all right. I dig it. We'll give it a shot.
It's a good place.
Yeah.
There's a reason it's in the top 100 restaurants in Canada year after year. And it's only been open for 3 years. And it was the number three best restaurant in Canada last year by On Route Magazine. So
right on. Tomorrow we're going to Banff and Lake Louise for Earth Day. So
oh, for Earth Day. Mm-hmm. Do you have your hiking shoes?
Yeah. I got my limbs.
Oh, nice. You'll fit right in. You've obviously never been to Banff. It's amazing. I was there last weekend. Yeah.
What's the cannabis scene there?
It's illegal. Yeah, so they banned all... There was a bunch of dispensaries that were supposed to open, and they're looking like they want to open them this summer, but it's just...
Yeah.
The federal government's into it. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't sell cannabis in the tourist attraction. It's literally just turning away money from the system.
Well, maybe when they legalize some of these other forms of consumption, like the edibles and the vape pens and stuff, that may make more sense. But they don't want people burning flower in a national forest.
I guess,
that makes sense.
Because then you could gauge what kind of cannabis consumption people were having. But at the end of the day, by not having a retail store, you're just fueling the black market.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to go somewhere on vacation no matter what, and they're going to ask for whatever they want.
Yeah, buy in Calgary and then...
I walked out of the... So we were at the Grizzly House. We went for fondue for my buddy's birthday's 30th birthday last weekend. I don't know if you've noticed, but nobody really seems to have any actual cannabis here. Like, nobody's... At least in my circle. Like, yesterday at 420, I'm like, who has actual weed to smoke? Everybody's like, no, like, I only have hash and I only have oil and essential oils. I'm like, fuck. So this was just like Banff. I go and I'm like, oh, Clay will definitely bring some cannabis to smoke. We'll roll a big fat backwood. He's like, no, I only brought dabs. And I'm like,
ah. I had flour. I would have brought it.
And so we walk out of the restaurant and I'm like, I really want to smoke a joint. I'm like, I really want to smoke a joint. Who's got a joint? Who's got a joint? And this guy's like, oi, mate, I got a joint you could roll. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, how you doing? And literally just hands me a nice size nug. Paper. And he's like, I can only roll two papers. Banff is invaded by Australians. It's basically just little Australia in Alberta.
Uh-huh.
Everybody just comes to drink and fuck and snowboard. And it's pretty awesome. Like, you know, if you're gonna do something in your life and you're like, yeah, my Banff, that's a place to go. And so right now is like the tail end of all their work visas, and so everybody's having a really good time. They have the money from working the ski hills, everything's
closing down.
Right
on time, Katie.
Yeah, for Earth Day, it's gonna be an absolute party. Like, it's what a fun place to be.
All right. Well, I may or may not share stories. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, it's a great place. You get so many awesome pictures. Have you ever been to the Rocky Mountains, like in Colorado?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's the same.
Same but different.
same but different. Totally same but different. Where was it? Was it Boulder or where in Colorado? Vail. it was the tiny ski town, and they had more cannabis money come in than anywhere else, and they were able to donate the most of any city in Colorado back into their public services.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about the exact parallel and the kind of audacity to not put a cannabis retail outlet in the city.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example. That would be a great conversation to have at that coffee meeting.
Yes, that would be with Travel
Alberta. If you need any coaching before you have these talks, call me. We will get you ready. This is important.
Yeah, it is important. I like doing it too. It is important, and somebody has to have the conversation, and it needs to be presented correctly.
Yeah.
Or else.
Well, and you are a good-looking kid. You have a good head on your shoulders. You're well-spoken. You know your stuff. You're doing good things already. Like, you're a great poster child to push this through. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, the last time I garnered some good media attention, it put like a big X on my back. I did an article in the Globe and Mail, which is Canada's oldest national newspaper.
Okay.
And I was on in the pursuit section. The cover story was Bepi Carousel is he is the OG wine writer in Canada. He's been writing for the Globe and Mail for like 25 years. He's badass. Like, the fact that I got an email from him, I was like, yes, like, this is so cool. And then we had a 3.5 hour conversation. Such a nice guy. Anyways, so he writes this article, and I'm the middle quote that's like, cannabis and wine are the exact same thing. There's a nice paragraph. Rogue beverage pioneers like Andrew Friedman are presenting cannabis and wine dinners under the radar all over Canada, and has even been in the United States. Literally the next day, it's like, AGLC, hey, so, you know, what are you up to? What are you doing? What's going on with this? And I was like,
interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword, my friend.
You know, that how else do we end the stigma unless people are talking? So it was even funnier. I went over to my neighbor's house because they wanted to get to know us. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, in their mid-late 60s. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we were reading the Globe and Mail, and there was something about a cannabis sommelier or something like that. Yeah, it sounded like it was a really neat story. And I was like, that was me. And they're like, no. Yeah. They were blown away, but I didn't realize how much position like that would perpetuate what I was trying to
elevate the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. All I'm trying to do, this is my tagline, because I love your casually baked thing. I'm bringing the conversation of cannabis back to the dinner table.
There you go. I dig it.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of this stuff that happens in San Francisco and in the wine country. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Oakland gets neglected a little bit in that regard.
We've got some
really cool venues, and I think really doing it differently instead of it being so like sophisticated and, you know, pinky out.
Homing it up a little.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It would be fun to collaborate and
love that.
Do something and let you, you know, experience my cannabis culture.
I'd love
and,
that.
And, you know, maybe there's some things that you'd like that you could bring back to Calgary. And
don't forget, I'm the backwoods smoking, rapping, Jewish Canadian cannabis sommelier over here. I'm an Oakland Raiders fan too. I want to be there. I like wearing a suit all the time. Don't get me wrong, but
right now you have on a flowery shirt and
my Canada's already great hat.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what that hat. I was like trying to like nonchalantly look around you to see if you were wearing a Trump hat or not. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You're like, you know, you were bashing this guy last night. I listened to your podcast. You fucking hate him. Clean water over the border wall. Like, this is my big pitch. Why don't we desalinify ocean water over building a border wall? That funding, I'm so fucking down for that funding to figure out how to make ocean water drinkable water. But I haven't heard anything about the border wall in a long time. That really kind of disappeared like a fart in the wind about 3 months ago.
Well, that's because the Mueller report is finally out. So, we, you know, everything's smoke and mirrors. We just hear what we are wanted to hear. So,
would you be a politician? I would be the president of the United States. If I was the U.S. guy, I'd be like, yeah, socialism.
I might be good at it, but there's no way with my record and my history that I would ever... Not record, like criminal record, but just past record.
And we had this conversation last night. It was like, have you ever bailed somebody out of jail? I did.
No, I don't think I've ever.
Pocatello, Idaho. We won't forget you, Pocatello. Fuck you.
I love you, Uncle Frank. I didn't say that.
That's right. You were the one that reminded me of the name of Pocatello. Perfect. Uncle Frank, you're a good dude. We like you. Shout out to you. I hope you listen to the podcast. Pocatello. So I was telling a great story where everywhere we went, we were trying to buy a bong. It was like, okay, let's go to the smoke shop. Let's go. You know, you'd figure either the gas station, the smoke shop, or a dollar store would have a pipe or a bong.
A dollar store would have a pipe or a bong? Well, come not to where I'm from.
Well, you're in Canada now, okay? Like, you go to the dollar store, you're going to get a pretty good pipe.
I'm like, just go to the grocery store and buy a fucking apple.
Thinking back on the story, oh yeah, so everybody's like, no, we don't sell that in Pocatello. Now that I'm thinking back on it, I'm like, why the fuck didn't I just get an apple? I think I ended up making like a really elaborate Gatorade bottle bong out of like a cut up can, yeah, and a pen stem.
You youngins try to make things too difficult.
Well, that's why I brought the computer bong out for you to smoke.
Yeah, no, this is pretty rad. I would have one of these.
They're pretty good. One broke on the on a podcast once. That was pretty funny.
I just pushed this button right here.
Double tap it really quick. Da-da.
All right.
And it's going to vibrate in your hand and then it's good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, Puffco, if you want to sponsor me at any point, like, you know, we do kind of sell advertising here. I kind of plug your product every single show. Hook your brother up. I could use like 8 more of these for the dinner series. I promise they'd be represented well.
Well, are you just talking to them on the radio or are you reaching out to them?
I think I'll send them this clip from the radio. I think that would be. And I'll be like, you know what? This got a lot of traction. We're in the top 100 food podcasts in Canada. And I said this on the podcast. This is a real thing. At least one would be great. I never lied to you. And the big thing with
you talking to me or Puffco now?
Both. It's a little bit of a, it's a double dip. That's what we're going to call it. But a lot of people scammed them for a lot of parts because it was such a not well working electronic. Both worked 75%.
Are you going to send them this part too?
I would. Well, I think they should know. I did a review on the interwebs for them on YouTube and they, you know, they should know that it's a pretty good product.
You want to try it, Katie?
Yeah,
it's just a baby. You're fine.
Oh, okay. Hardest part about doing a podcast. What's the worst part for you? Do you produce it all? Do you do like the whole shebang?
Yeah. So I have a studio in.
Hey, your studio is sick. It's way better than my office.
I love it. But, you know, for me, I need to have the space feel as professional and as tightened and buttoned up as yeah. I want my product to be. And so I created that environment and I do produce it.
Yeah.
I do edit.
Do you use Logic?
I do use Adobe Audition.
Cool. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Pro, like if you're a real pro in the actually using audio, because I just use this to produce music.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And then I hired an audio engineer.
Okay.
Who I then turn the file over to and he cleans up those ambient sounds and all the, you know, random police car that drives by downtown Oakland or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
He can fix that stuff. And
what are the P's called? I'm going to just keep reckoning.
Those, the pop things.
There's a specific word for it.
Yeah. And I don't fucking know, but I know how to take them out, you know.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah. No worries.
The thing for me is.
Plosives.
Yeah. I love being in the moment and recording and talking to people. But then whenever I'm done, I would like to just be able to send it off and let somebody else deal with it.
Disappear from it.
But when I've tried that, I get it back and I'm like, wait a minute, that this, you pulled my story apart or my idea doesn't sound like what I meant or whatever.
Right, because you edit yours.
Right. Well, I only edit it if someone that I'm talking to, maybe they say something and then they're like, I totally said that bad, or I really would like to re-explain my business or whatever. And so, you know, I'll cut some of that stuff out.
I'm ruthless. I never give anybody the chance. I screw them in the first 30 seconds. I remember I was doing one with this rapper and I introduced him by like his old battle rap name. And he looks at me, he's like, no, no, no. He's giving me like the cutthroat, like, no. And I'm like, no, 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 man. You're snitched out right now. I was like, that's what we're talking about. I was like, we're going to talk about it at some point. You got to live up to your nickname. And he's like, oh.
Well, and so I do kind of clean up the podcast piece.
Yeah.
But the video, I just let it ride. Cool. So that's kind of like the unedited version. If you care about that, you'll watch it on YouTube.
The video is always interesting. I love the crossover episode. This is my first crossover episode. It's like I always loved the Matt Groening ones, The Simpsons and Futurama. That's what got me excited about it. Or American Dad and Family Guy. That's what I thought about when we first were like, let's do a crossover episode. I was like, yes, like cartoons.
Yeah.
I'm such a fucking nerd.
That's okay. Nerds are cool.
Now they're cool. I'm happy that being a nerd, cannabis, entrepreneurship, and technology are all really cool in 2019, or I would be fucked and totally
You wouldn't
beat
have
up.
That pretty little lady downstairs.
No way. Yeah, I got so lucky. I'm still don't know how I tricked her into marrying me.
All right. Well, thanks for playing. Thanks for the beer.
Yeah, you ready? This is your moment. Okay, I got to ask you a question.
Oh, okay.
There's a question I ask everybody.
All right.
You get a microphone all the time, but if you get a microphone on my stage and you wanted to tell the world anything and they're all listening, what would you tell the world?
Well, selfishly right now, I will tell the world about my business.
Money.
Yeah. But no, if you are curious about cannabis, I am in the business of Canna Confidence. And so if you haven't subscribed to Casually Baked the podcast, I would highly encourage it.
I would as well.
And also, if you are somebody who is kind of struggling with something in your personal life surrounding cannabis, I have an advice show called Love, Mary Jane.
Ooh.
It is all about relationships in the modern cannabis culture, whether those are personal, professional, within the community. And so you can go to lovemaryjane.net and you can ask me any of your cannabis-infused relationship questions. And I answer them on the show. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool. Okay, I got to ask, have you had any crazy ones? Like, is there any, like, really good ones that were, like, stuck out so far?
Well, I mean, so you can find shows on the yin and yang of dating somebody who's sober and you're somebody who consumes.
Crazy. Would never work in my world. Okay.
There is a show on switch hitting, somebody who's considering changing teams in their 30s.
Oh, like, you know, becoming a homosexual?
Yeah, being like, I've been dating dudes and this isn't working out for me. Am I crazy to want to date women? So that was a fun one. We had a good time answering that one. So I partner with different people who are experts in
just
that field
it,
or whatever.
Everybody, listen in. I want to know the answer to what your advice was. I probably would have just said, go for it and see if you're into it. I don't know. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Everybody go check it out.
There was one about people that are, kids are now out of the house. They're starting to experiment with cannabis again. And like, how can we use cannabis in the bedroom to have a better experience? And so, yeah, we talk about all kinds of fun stuff. It's, you know, not something you listen to with your kids in the car.
Yeah, of course not. Well, we don't have kids, so that's okay. What was that one called again?
Love, Mary Jane.
And what's your Instagram?
That is @lovemjpod.
Oh, nice. And then casually baked, exactly it's, like it's...
Yeah, @casuallybaked.
Do you have a website for that one too?
That is casuallybaked.com.
You locked it all down. You're casually baked.
I'm casually baked on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on the World Wide Web.
Okay, well, we're casually. Thank you for getting casually baked with me. Thanks for hanging out. Cheers and safe travels.
Yeah.
Welcome to Canada. Cheers. Bye bye.
I hope you enjoyed tagging along with me on my trip to Calgary. My goal was to give you a feel for what to expect from the people and culture and some fun things to do when you book your own getaway. My next stop is Portland, Oregon. So if you have requests or other Canna curiosities, let me know. I'm exploring the cannabis culture around the world for me and you. So message me through the website at casuallybaked.com or I'm @casuallybaked for all you social butterflies who'd rather DM me. I'll include more Casually Baked YYC holiday pictures, including my Earth Day trip to Lake Louise and Banff, plus a video of the elevated dining experience. You can find all of the things in the Podcast 87 show notes at casuallybaked.com. And if you want more Beers with Buds, you can find Andrew's podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google. He's at The Cannabis Somm on all of your favorite social platforms. That's at The Cannabis S-O-M-M. And he's on the web at thecannabissomm.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, I sure hope you'll share it with your favorite pot-smoking foodie friend. And thank you, Calgary, for the hospitality. I'm sure I'll see you again real soon. And for the rest of you, y'all come back now. You hear? Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.